Welcome to TA1, everything you wanted to know about adventure racing and then some. I'm your host, legendary Randy Erickson, and we have a special Friday night edition. Recording this Friday night. Okay, it's still cold. We had like 16 inches of snow this week, which sucks, but it's going away, and I'm going away next week to Virginia for the Shenandoah Epic, so I guess I can live with it. Anyway, it's just me and the chili dog in here. Got the birds locked out in the other room, listening to some soul and Motown. They seem to be digging that. So, so not a lot going on, except I get to leave, go see my favorite people. So next week, Saturday, a week from tomorrow, check out the Adventure Enabler Shenandoah Epic. We'll be doing a lot of photos, and we'll get some video, and we'll do some live updates from the course, and there'll be tracking, and we'll have a cracking good time. Could be a lot of people there that I haven't seen for a little bit, and some that I see like all the time. So looking forward to it. It's a very cool area of Virginia. So that's it. That's it from here. Go fast, take chances, but not any risks. Slow is fast. And thanks for listening. And peace out. Bye.
I think. Can you hear us? Close
that, right? I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Randy.
Hey. Oh. So who's the third member there on the floor?
Tansy.
That's Misty's dog.
Yeah. No, I don't think I can. I can't tip mine down enough. Chili's sleeping right beside me. So.
Nice.
Well, you're in a cabin.
Yep. We have a log home.
Very nice.
So, it's been, how long have we lived here? 20 years.
Mine is not a log home.
And you can't see out the window, but
beautiful.
We're nice. In the middle of the forest.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Although there's snow on the ground, so that isn't so lucky.
also not an option with us this season.
Oh, and now it's snowing.
Oh, wow. And
the sun was out 5 minutes ago.
Here. Yeah. We're hotter than hot.
Yeah, well, you know what I told Jared when he said that?
Oh. I like it.
Yeah. But we'll be probably 70 next weekend, so.
Good.
This time of year, I don't mind a little snow. Because it's not going to stay.
We're back.
Okay. All right, so first of all, for some reason, I owe you guys an apology because you guys should have been on a long time ago. You guys are like OG adventure racers.
We're pretty old school. It's okay.
We don't do much. We just hang out and chase each other around the woods.
Well, that's plenty.
Yeah.
So, all right. So with two of you, you need to introduce yourselves so people know your voices.
Okay.
All right. I'm Misty Becerra.
I'm Sarah McClarty. I'll be the loud one.
Yeah, we know. And you're good enough.
Yes.
Team good enough. Got my shirt on.
I know. You guys are like professionals.
We pretend. We always want to at least look good. Yeah. We've definitely got that down.
Yeah, well, you look good and you race good. So that's really up there.
That was my motto in the triathlon world is I might not come in first, but I'm going to look the best out there when I'm doing it.
So let's see. Your background's triathlon. Misty, what's your background?
Pretty much the same. I grew up in multi-sport as well, swimming. I dabbled in some rugby for a little bit. Track and field, did it all.
Triathlon.
Yeah, mountain biking was a thing for me too.
Xterra.
Yeah.
So how did you get started in triathlon and how long ago was that?
For me, I did my first triathlon when I was 7 years old. So that was 31 years ago. And the irony is that I did that first triathlon 200 meters down the road from where I live now, and came full circle and live back in that Claremont town that I did my first triathlon in. So a long time, but it was because of my family. My mom was an athlete, and grandma was a swimmer and got involved in the sport, and did triathlons for a long time. And then met Misty here when we were working here in Claremont. And she said, let's go in the woods and do some of this biking and running stuff. So I blame her for all of this.
And I take the blame very well. I don't mind. I love it.
You have broad shoulders. You can take that. I do. That blame. Were you seven when you started Misty?
No, I started triathlon in 2001. I believe my first one was in college with some friends that kind of talked me into it. And I had the background. I was an ocean rescue lifeguard. I figured I had to swim down pretty good from being a swimmer my whole life. I loved mountain biking growing up, so road cycling wasn't my thing, but I could easily handle a road bike and I was a decent runner. So I jumped into it pretty quick. Yeah. And I actually got out of it pretty quick too, because I found out that I still loved the adventure world, you know, and I loved being in the woods, and that's where Xterra came in. It's the same thing as triathlon, but off-road, mountain biking, trail running. Mm-hmm. And, then again, Sarah and I met, and I had a great idea of doing a race that a friend of mine had me do, which was an adventure race with Pangea back in the day. And the rest is history. We've been doing them ever since. We haven't missed a year. Well, we've done at least one or 10 a year.
12 years now? Yeah. So, all right.
We don't care if the dog barks.
She wants but out.
I could go get the birds, and we can have birds chirping. So you started 30 years ago. So that's 90 in the 90s.
It was 1990. 90. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I was seven here in Claremont. And ironically, the gentleman who owns this triathlon event business, it's the same guy. I mean, he put on a half marathon that ran by the same place that, you know, triathlon happens. Summer Sports in Claremont has been 35 years plus doing races. And that's one of the things that brought me full circle back to this Central Florida location. I went swimming and scholarship took me up to the University of Florida, and then being a professional triathlete took me out to Colorado Springs to live there for a while. And then I ended up landing back in Florida near my family in DeLand, over on the East Coast. And I knew Claremont, like I knew there's hills through here, there's open water swimming, there's these great trails for being, you know, off the road, whether you're on pavement off the road or dirt off the road. And came full circle, landed back in Claremont, continued my professional career here. Started working as a swim coach at the pool, which is where Misty was working. So then we started working together at the facility doing swim coaching. Long story, we eventually broke off and started our own business of swim coaching. I retired from my professional racing and used that fitness for a while, where we got real serious. Like in 2017, I want to say, we... Well, 2017 was like our we're going to do everything adventure racing year. We got a little too excited. Yeah. We found USARA and we're like, what? There's like rankings. And so then we started caring about our points and we did way too many races. And then they throw, oh, what? This World Championships is coming to the United States. Well, let's go there. And we get in there and we finished 2017 and we were just like, we need to just take sit down and relax for a bit. So that was sort of our craziest year. We probably counted up, we did like 10 or 12 races that year, 12 hours or more. And it really tapped us out. And but since then, we've spent a lot of time introducing a lot of other people to the sport.
The slap team, and then also just friends that wanted to hop in or are curious about it.
I mean, we post, you know, you post enough pictures and stuff, and you talk, if it's the only thing that you end up talking about when you're out with people, they have two options. They either get annoyed and they stop hanging out with you, or they listen to your, they listen to your stupid stories enough that they go, really? Okay, I'll do some with you. It's those two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So did you guys both go nuts like that in your triathlon career? Have a year like that where you went like, we're just gonna hit it hard this year
for sure. Absolutely. For me, it was just getting into triathlon. I went crazy. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I met a lot of great people doing it. I had a lot of friends at the time that were doing it, and it brought me to Claremont here where I live. I got an internship at the time it was USA Triathlon National Training Center in Claremont, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Then realized very quickly that triathlon, you've got to be the top to make any money. And I was like, well, I like making money, and I don't think I really want to become an elite professional at this point. That's when I met all the professionals and said, well, I can train with them and try and keep up with them, but never be at that caliber, because I'm probably not going to be making money in the sport. So, but then also Xterra, when I found that, it was the same thing. I was like, wow, I really dug into it deep, went to national championships for that.
Got national champion.
For my age group at the time. So yeah, for sure. We're that competitive. Yeah. Know that we can do it. And when we're in it, we go in it. We swim, run,
we dive into
championships.
Right.
The other one.
We dive into these things and then just, you know, you get a little worn out. So backing up, as we were doing this adventure racing craziness, that of course it's all her fault, you know.
I have great ideas and I like doing them, but I also, to win at the level, I need these more than elite athletes to drag me and pull me along. So I know what I'm doing, as long as I can convince them to do it.
Just has to, we've got an Olympian on our team now, yeah. Randy. Like, I mean, you can see where she's going with this. No, so right. So when did I move here? Like 2008, 2009 was when she went on her first adventure race with some other friends. I mean, I was full. I am a professional triathlete. And one of the scary things about that is it's full time. Like it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can't go, you know, breaking my ankle in the woods and have, you know, to go race the next weekend. So at the beginning, it was very hesitant and it was very cautious for me. I would only race in the off season through the winter when I wasn't traveling every other weekend around the world to do races. So then I'm getting nearer to retirement and we're having a little more fun with adventure racing, and she pulls up this, so look at this video I just found. And we watched this video of these, these people are this is stupid. This is insane. Who are these insane people? She's watching this video of people swimming and running across 26 different islands in Sweden doing this new sport that's just coming out called swim run. She's like, look at this. And I'm like, that's insane. I'll never do that.
It's cold too, which frigid water. Yeah, we went
twice. Yeah, so that was the quote, I'll never do that. We were signed up a year later and we went twice to Sweden to do the world championships of swim run. Nobody send her any crazy videos. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
No, you really should think about doing the Rockman.
We know about Rockman. I don't know how we haven't done that, but.
Because I said no.
I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, but see, I have a connection. So the race director from there came over here to the Black Hills because we were going to put one together here. So don't want to go over and climb 2,222 steps.
I mean, we did the crazy, we did the big one. We did world championships. I mean, there's 26 islands through the Swedish archipelago.
Again, there is a thing called competitiveness. And if we don't feel we can go top five or top five. I'll leave it at that. We're probably not going to show up anymore. So there's something you have to realize about that world over there. It's cold. When they have these races, we're in the heat of the summer.
We live in Florida.
We show up and that's a big problem. You know, we realized real quick we couldn't compete with them because of that was one of the problems. And also they're amazing athletes out there.
Of course.
It was pretty impressive. Yeah, we're very impressed for sure.
Yeah.
But we tried. Okay.
We did. The races there are in August, September, June, August, September. It's 95 degrees here,
And I freeze. Personally.
How are we going to practice in our wetsuit? Yeah. It's just, we're experienced enough that we're able to do it, but those are just fantastic races and we had a blast.
All right. So, okay. Now I got a bazillion questions.
Okay.
So we're going to jump around. You know how this works. So Misty, how close were you to being that elite level that you needed to be a pro? I mean, you're training with them all the time.
Yeah. Honestly, I did one draft legal race and that was actually not even when I was in my prime. And it was more just for fun to get the experience. So I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I've never really tried to compare myself with the pros.
No,
I mean, I can't because I worked a 40-hour job. I could never hit the volume of training that they did. They nap every day.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes twice a day. I mean, I had absolutely no way of doing that without crushing myself and working. So I can't say that I was ever really at that.
She would have been great, but she came through as a working person. Yeah. And that is taking those leaps of scary, like, how am I going to stop working? There's a lot of people out there that are extremely talented athletes, and Randy, from my experience, it is very hard to make money as a professional.
Yeah, as we said earlier. So, I mean, I can hang, but not the amount, if that helps to answer that question.
And that was 12 years ago too. So.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, if you're training with them, you got to be like within 10%, which that 10% is the hardest 10%, right?
Yeah. So. And they're that 0.01%.
Right.
Yeah. That's even harder. Yeah.
Right.
That's harder than the first 90.
Yep.
Okay. What's the stupidest weekend you ever did triathlon or adventure racing where my example is I did a half Ironman in Denver, drove 400 miles home and did a 100-mile mountain bike or a road bike race the next day. So what's the dumbest?
Every time she registers us for a multi-day adventure race, what am I doing out here? Where is my nap?
Oh my God. I don't know though. We love doing multi-day things, but I'd like to say sometimes I'm a little smarter than that, where I haven't really done a back-to-back craziness. No, I don't really have one that I can pop off
Does
the top of my mind.
Does anything top this ridiculous?
Well, I guess you guys are probably in a spot where there's probably a race every weekend. And not like here in South Dakota and the upper Midwest where it's like, there's these two races and they're 2 days apart, then nothing for a month.
Right. We're able to space it out. But I mean, our craziest thing was it was 2017 where we just sort of raced
it was
ourselves.
Like every other weekend. I'd agree to that. And that's months and months of training.
We traveled to nationals. We traveled to worlds,
We went to Belize.
I think that was 18. Or something.
It
I think
fell in
we came
there.
Around February of the next year after that and did the 4-day race in Belize. So it was just this like,
So the hardest part I think was not so much the body with that, Randy, as though that it's not even me. I think that I could keep going weekend after weekend most of the time. And we did for a long time, but there's one thing that we found that Sarah's brain is fried. It's real quickly. She just, and I don't know that because I'm not the navigator. My mind, I can just shut off for hours on end and then my body keeps moving, but my mind isn't going, but that's so different with the navigators. And that's what I'm seeing happening and learning, but I still have not had that experience where I'm like, guys, I can't even think about looking at a map right now. I'm like, oh, I'll sign up for another one. Sure. My body can do it. No, sure. And they're just like, you know, they're blind. They just, I can't look at them.
It all starts squiggling in front of you. Yeah.
Scrambled eggs.
So, Well, when you get to that point, I mean, how long does it take before your mind is normal, in quotes?
We did the real one that we saw was, for me, we did C2C as just the two of us in 20, we did it with the bull, the hunter,
19.
We did it as the two of us.
Yep.
And we really hurt ourselves bad trying to not sleep when Jeff had this relay section, but we refused to go in the woods without each other.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. We really took ourselves, you know, I've heard it goes worse. So obviously I've heard lots of stories, but then just a couple months later, we went and did this 24-hour of Sheriff Posse race with May Lee.
Yeah.
And I refused. We were 4 hours into the race and I checked the map. I said, I'm not looking at this anymore. You guys, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this.
It was tough to watch.
Yeah.
It was. I felt bad for her, and I'm standing here with a map being like, sorry.
It was 2 months. And after that, really, I really got fried because I mapped that whole thing. And for sure, like this last month, you know, Jared and Richard did the relay section. So I had these breaks with the maps and I feel fine right now, but we're definitely not like registering for anything, you know, off the bat right now to go do. But, it's 2 months and I was still just like, I don't want to be looking at this.
That's interesting. Can you push through it in a race if you want to?
We didn't quit. I mean, we made
it. Yeah, I know.
That night we saw a meteor in Stein Hatchie.
We thought we were seeing things.
Right. We thought it lit up the whole sky for like 4 seconds. The ground too. We had shadows at midnight. We had shadows on the road. It was just insane.
You pushed through.
Yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy, I enjoy it and I don't enjoy it. Yeah, like there's this times where I'm just like, yes. And I'm, you know, these big old and I'm like, and then they're like,
that's how you know. Granted, you can push through, but it's not fun.
It's
right?
not fun.
Yeah. Is there a secret to navigating in Florida?
Yes. I think there is.
I talked to Ron. I was just like, well, how hard can it be? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's really hard because you don't have that mountain to look at.
And that's the thing, Randy, you know where I really suck is in elevation. Cause I don't know how to not, you know, use that. So yeah, we are, in Florida, we are very, just cardinal oriented. It's all based on your headings. It's not like, oh, we're going to go, you know, to something. And when you hit an uphill, you know, we're very good at staying on our headings because you don't have the other options. You can head off into something and not have anything.
Yeah.
Tell you, I don't know. We just had to go at this heading until we're going to get there. Like I have nothing. They keep asking me for information. Well, what are we supposed to, guys? I don't know. There's nothing on the map. Just keep going.
Yeah. A lot.
They ask, are you seeing anything on the map, Sarah? No, you guys, there's nothing on the map.
Yeah. It's not like you can't, you know, oh yeah, there's that mountain. We got to head that way for at least an hour. And, and so you never get to shut your brain off ever.
No. It's always on. Yeah. Gotta go. So.
And I would guess even that when you're, you know, like on roads, because all the damn roads in Florida look like. I mean, you got to really be paying attention.
We watch the trackers if some people get on the wrong roads.
Yeah.
That's tough.
No, I mean, we freely admit that we have a huge advantage here in Florida, but again, we're full-time working people. So it is, you know, it is easy for us. We want to do it and we don't want to devote the flight and the packing of everything and the money that it takes to go somewhere else, but we want to be involved. So we're lucky. I mean, a while back, remember those like graphs and everything that just showed like where everything was happening. And it was just like in this southeast corner was, you know, like 50% of the races in the country. And, you know, it's, we're lucky.
Well, 100% of the races I've been to in the last year have been in the southeast. So
we're very fortunate.
I know. And that is purely because, and we always have to say it, when we looked at this map, I said, that is because we have Ron, Jeff, Craig, you know, all the, well, Greg from Pangea. And it was just like, we looked at this map and we go, well, that's all because these guys literally love this. And we are so lucky. Obviously we would be doing something else if we were somewhere else, but the adventure racing world just owes a great shout out to these guys that are just so passionate about it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, there's got to be at least one race, maybe two a month right now, but it, you do slow down in the summer, right down there.
Yeah. Our first race was in the middle of the summer, but it was nighttime. It was through the night. So that's our solution in Florida. Just do a 5 hour that starts at 1:30 and ends at 7:30 in the morning or something. Randy, I swear, I don't know how I came back and did it. She took me my first race that she registered for. We checked in at midnight and we started at like 2 a.m. in Florida and we walked through in the nighttime. It was through a waist-high river we walked through, and we had dollar store headlamps, and I don't know how we managed to register for another race.
Sure, it's because we got second or third.
We got third.
That's how. We did well.
That can be the worst thing, is to have a good result to start with.
Yes, you would know. Yes.
For two extremely competitive people, I wonder why, like, we came back. We were this close. Oh my God, what are we doing?
Do they have enough insurance for this?
Do the races pay for insurance? This is insane. This is wrong. She keeps telling me, this is wrong. Because I think I was already mapping at that point in time. I'm a very brainy person. And she's like, this can't be right. And I'm like, this is it. This is what it says. Oh, I don't believe
it. Shocking.
I forgot about how our first one was like that. That we came back and did more of them. That was Pangea. And then we would always race Ron Eaglin behind, obvious. No, Randy, we would race Ron by being at a checkpoint with Ron. Oh, good. All right, Ron's here. Yes, we're doing good, right? And then we'd run off for the next one fast as we could, leave him in the dust. We're fast. If he'd be at the checkpoint before us.
Yeah.
What the hell? So that was where we got our first mentor. We got our mentor in the sport. What in the heck? We just ran so fast. He's like, well, you didn't go that way and do this and that and blah, blah, blah.
He taught us a lot.
And so this, you know, always. And got us, you know, figured those out and did better with that. And we still take the long way. Sometimes. But it's just been fantastic. And then Jeff diving in with AR Georgia, and we go suffer up there in the mountains.
Yeah, I love it up there.
So heading up to Georgia.
It's quite a difference in a few hundred miles, isn't it?
Which is, again, great because we don't have to go too far to get the elevation. And that's where we train also in North Carolina. We have a little spot up there. My family's been going up there for years. And so that kind of helps with elevation training. And it's 4,000 to 5,000 also. So it's a little altitude.
Yeah. She grew up half of her childhood in Highlands, North Carolina. Yeah. So in the mountains and near the whitewater rafting and trails and mountain biking. So we escape up there to do some of that
stuff. You mentioned, you know, getting Ron as a mentor, and then obviously now you guys are mentoring other people. How important is that? Because you got a huge community down there where, you know, a lot of people have maybe their team, and that's it. So,
Well, with Swim Like a Pro is SLAP, that's kind of what we do. It's feeder programs for everything in the sport. You know, one sport always crosses over to the other. Even when COVID hit, you know, we got super creative and we were doing run and ride on your own.
I'll brag about Misty. That was, she probably set four or five rodeos. Four.
Also trying to get people involved in it. Really, actually, I have several athletes that I train and three of them actually have crossed over right now. They're not doing triathlon. And I'm impressed to see that actually happen. Not even trying. It's just there was that opportunity that triathlon wasn't happening and the rodeos were. So they branched off into the woods and they just fell in love with it and the challenge behind it. And it's still tasking and the training is hard. You know, you're out there in the woods suffering, you know, you got trails that don't always turn into trails. So you're working your butt off out there the same that you would, you know, if you're on the road, swim, biking, running.
Yeah.
So definitely for sure, trying to grow the sport and find that feeder. I think triathlon is that feeder program for it. It helps because it's multi-sport. It's the same thing. You're just off in the woods, but now there's a brain level capacity to it. And a lot of these people are intelligent, successful business owners, and you give them a map and compass, which they probably never used before. And now we also have done a few just
little coaching things.
Yeah, like Venture Racing 101s were just teaching steps and how to read a map, and they just suck into it pretty quick, which is neat. It's good life skills, right? That's kind of what we over COVID stepped into just a little bit, just touched into it.
Yeah.
I was you were part of that group I was not happy with that we're all, you know, quarantined and you're out playing every day.
We're
and
playing.
I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, I didn't miss a day of work.
Yeah.
It's not right. How come
we're working out there too?
Yeah.
So I wasn't real happy, but so how did you learn to navigate, Sarah? Just do it?
Yeah. The winging it method.
Yeah.
Just wing it.
Yeah.
And then just, again, I mean, we're 12 years into this now. So just experience and listening to Ron and.
Well, we can back up and say, I think the basic skills of navigation are map and compass. Growing up, we both had families that were very outdoorsy. And I've been reading a map since I was a little kid and looking. My father was a Marine. He had compass and everything, you know, to teach us. So that was the very basics. But then we took it to a whole nother level, you know, when we get some of these other topographical maps that have, they're just amazing, you know, how they make them now. And so I think then, you know, we went to another level with it, of course, because, you know, the step counting and all.
I'm not good at all.
We could get better.
We're just fast. Like that's our, like we just make it look good. And I just get less bad over time.
That's
and
really
we still just keep being fast, being the solution, you know, like, oh, shit, we fucked up, just sprint, and then we'll make up for it kind of thing.
That's what I do when I race on my own personally.
a lot of support and experience through Florida Orienteering.
Oh gosh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, again, I feel like is for a state orienteering organization, and trust me, we've Googled them all and everything.
Yeah.
They are a very active course setting, you know,
courses,
non-COVID, obviously pre-COVID, but you would look down their calendar and it was two a month in the state of Florida.
That's how we were practicing.
We can't even find orienteering in other states when we're going to visit. So again, we've been very lucky to have extreme opportunities to just keep doing things. If you just keep listening to Ron and just absorb little bits at a time, you can't get it all at once.
That's all you want to be around him anyway, is little bits at a time.
Happy birthday, Ron. And little bits at a time. But yeah, just the screw up method and screwed that up. Like, so we went to just notes on ourselves too. We went to, what were you and me and Jared doing? And Jeff's
cauldron
30-hour race in where we froze. We yeah, know what it's like to be out by you, Randy, because it was 21 degrees when we froze. Yeah. So, I made a big screw up and just said to Misty, I said, for the next month, I need you to tell me, you know, remind me of this and, you know, train that mental into it. So we had the sort of, you know, I had the fix for the next time.
That's interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, I like this one from Navigators. How do you recover when you screw up? Other than just going fast, because you still have to figure out where you're going.
Hope somebody else screws up more.
Right. I know. Misty said something, because we've been taking on like Jared as a newish teammate and Richard through this C2C. So we had sort of, you know, conversations about how we race, because the two of us have been doing this for 12 years. So, so very early on, when it was just the two of us, I would screw up. I would get mad at myself, but I would get mad. Yeah. She would get mad back, and then everybody's mad. And then through time, we figured out, like I am punishing myself. Like, I am pissed. I am screaming. I am cussing. It is all directed at myself. Sometimes I'm internalizing it. Sometimes I'm verbalizing it and everything. And you said the other day during a script, she's like, just let her be mad
at herself.
And when it was just the two of us, she learned. And I feel like she realized she has to get me back positive, like real quick. And she does. She would just start working on this sort of like chipping away at it over the next couple of minutes as we head off doing something, like getting the mind off it and just dropping, you know, positive things at it. And I do feel like we get out of those a lot better. So it was a teammate experience kind of thing. You know, I'm holding the map, and I have the term of navigator, but I mean that's the whole thing that comes around. So it was a lot on her realizing that and seeing that, because I don't see it. I'm just seeing red. I'm just literally seeing red at myself through those times. So enough of us doing this as a result of that, and then figuring out how to get out of that.
All right. So here's a two-part question. Do you let her vent for a little bit before you start to calm her down? And do you know that she's starting to calm you down and to start calming down? Is any of this rational, or is it just all by feel?
Well, usually I'm also pissed because she screwed up, right? Okay. So there's that factor. So I have to personally get over it first, you know, which I'm pretty quick. I take a lot of, I'm just, my personality is, I take a lot of other people's blame and anger, and I turmoil over and I feel bad and I want to make it better. So that's always my thing. I want to make everybody happy. I want to make everybody feel
that's
better.
Their personality.
So once I'm over the fact that she effed up, I'm trying to figure out how to get out of it. I still see she's freaking out, but it's wasting our time. And that's really what it came down to. I need to somehow get her out of it, because the longer she's in it is the time, the watch is clicking. Like, we could stew over things from over 15 minutes sometimes and just sit there. And here I am leaving and she's still sitting there. I'm like, well, that's not going to help. So so we've tried a lot of different ways of getting her out of it. And honestly, Sarah loves to laugh. Like, I'll say this now, but I have to make it a joke. I don't even know how. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does, you know, but if I somehow start laughing about something stupid, then she realizes, okay, enough's enough. You know, we've got to move on.
Like, oh, it was a good thing we took that trail to get there, you know, and then it starts rolling off. I mean, for sure, Randy, the longer and worse the screw up, the longer and worse it takes to get out of it. Again, that has improved as well too. Boy, you know what? I take that back, because I just thought of our one screw up. I was just literally going to say our screw ups are pretty short. And then I just went into my head what we did in C2C. Never mind.
but you do know everybody does it, right?
Yeah,
it's who does it the least and who recovers the best. So we have been working on that recovery kind of thing, but hey, there's nothing like paddling 3 extra hours back 6 miles to get the checkpoint that you couldn't find because you're a bunch of idiots.
No, but the important thing is you realize it and then you just do it.
Yeah.
We've left several checkpoints and find ourselves going back somehow, right. Looping back around because we found out, oh, we do have some more time.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. It's very rare that we don't go back and try again. Sometimes you just need a little
We are speedy, so we do have that benefit where, you know, we're like, all right, we will go try again. I think we do have more time to make screw ups and correct screw ups and fix it and everything. Because when it's just the moving time between checkpoints, we're gaining time and everything to do that. So I do feel like our screw ups are big because we do have all this extra time to waste.
Well, I guess if you screw up, you're moving fast. You're going to get farther away.
True.
Yes.
That's so true.
So you guys have been racing together for 12 years. How do things change when you bring like two more teammates on for a race?
Yeah. Usually it's me dragging other people in and it is.
Yeah.
Gosh, we've had a lot of different people. Really, Sarah and I do work so well together. And I think we explained that right away. People know Sarah is a lead navigator. And we also feel out the other teammates. If they feel that they are also lead navigators, then it gives Sarah a little bit of a break. Although we also let people know Sarah wants to start out with a map right away, you know? So if they have a problem with that, like we bring it all to the table in the beginning before we're racing. We actually had some issues in the past where we didn't bring it on the table right away and we're in race mode and we learned the hard way on that. So now moving forward with that, we've really narrowed in what our jobs are. So once Sarah and I, now we know what our jobs are. When we bring other people on, we hope that they compliment us.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what
we enjoy it. Like you said, I mean, you started that with, we've been racing together for 12 years. So,
and we know what our expectation is.
And we've done an expedition with just the two of us, just once.
Yeah.
And that one expedition, which is the two of us, made us realize that expeditions need to have more people for the sleep aspect and the brain aspect.
Yeah.
We did great together. I mean, that race was really good for the two of us. I feel like we flowed real well in that race. Mm-hmm. The problem was just the sleep aspect between the two of us and needing more people. But again, as we've been in it for 12 years and yeah, I mean, running through the woods is always new, but it's always new to have somebody else there to show a new person the race, or, you know, race with somebody who, and this is how we find our teammates, is we'll always be racing and there'll be like some solo guy that's keeping up with us, Dave Ashley, you know, and you keep seeing him. Oh, you know, why don't we call him for the next one? Obviously he's our speed and ability, you know, let's bring him in. And that was where Jared and Richard met. You know, we kept running into each other at checkpoints. So the two of them started communicating and we got them on our C2C team. But again, we just sort of race with different people, experience different people. It brings a whole nother level to it. Our only requirement is that, you know, you're fun and
competitive,
laugh and
though,
competitive.
Honestly. We do like to push that level. We do.
Yeah.
I think most people know that though.
Yeah. Two part. And this is just yes or no questions. So have you ever had somebody say, hey, I'd like to race with you. And you're just like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah. But then they raced with us.
Eventually they did. And it was good.
And it was good.
It was
like,
good.
Oh, whoops.
It was
so
a keeper.
Weird.
So have you ever finished a race somebody and are like, nope, never again?
Yeah, we have unfortunately had that.
Oh, and people have said no to
us.
Well, me. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That was like a big one in like Belize. We were just connected with two guys, one from Brazil and one from France in Belize to be a four-person team. And you don't know each other. And we got through it and everything. But that was a, okay, bye!
Yeah.
kind of thing. You know, no hard feelings. We experienced the race and everything.
That's,
I can be a lot to handle.
Yeah, that's true. So... Would Will you guys ever race just for the fun of it?
We have already done that.
Okay.
Definitely have already done that. It's very rare, but you know, we've said that we're just going to be out there.
Not at the start, Randy.
Yeah.
But once it's like obvious that, whoa, this is gone to the shitter. Then it's like, all right,
honestly, that was, I was with, Jonathan and Jared the first time. Jared was brand new, so we didn't know, and we were coming in also not having been in adventure racing shape.
So this was,
what was that?
Well, it was through COVID. This was Jeff's
the bear
October, so nobody had raced in a while. I hadn't looked at a map in
very rusty, so we said that going into that race, and
it was Jared's first,
and shockingly we did exactly that. We got nowhere close to those new teams, not even close. That was embarrassing, but we were super okay with
that. Let's just get to the finish line, guys.
It was okay.
I was not okay with it. Speak for yourself. I'm never okay with it.
We went, but answering your question, we went into it with an expectation, low expectation.
Yeah. So it can happen with you.
Yes. Well, I counter that with a question. Does Ron ever go into a race not competitive? I mean, no, he still wants to go and do good. And Jeff and all these guys. So it, you know, no, it's a race. I'm sorry. If there's a ready, go, then I am ready to go.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm ready to hold on.
So what's with the rest of the year for you guys? What do you got planned?
I keep trying to retire from this sport as well.
Nationals is it,
and I was retired, and somebody convinced me to do C2C because they kept saying we've always gotten second place.
This is Jared's fault.
So I came back and we did it again and yada yada. So then I said, yay, I'm retired now and I don't want to do this anymore, and now apparently we're registering for nationals. That is
sounds hard with navigation or something like that, they said, and it sucks there right in.
No, I don't want to exercise anymore.
You don't have to, you show up.
What would you do if you really retired? What would you do?
Oh, I don't exercise anymore, Randy. Prior to doing C2C, I think I do 3 hours of exercise a week.
We got 3 to 6 hours every 2 weeks.
That is 3 hours a week. It's because I train these youth triathletes. They're, you know, like 14, 13 years old. So if I go out and train them for their 2 90-minute training sessions that I have to ride the bike and run with them, I mean, that's sort of my fitness for the week right now. And I'm proud of that because I don't want to do any more exercise. But whatever, if we're going to register for nationals, maybe I'll up it to like 3.5 or 4 hours of exercise a week.
That's my job. I'll drag her out there. We'll get trained. We'll be ready. As usual.
Apparently 30 years of racing is the cutoff point, because I'd raced for 30 years when I quit.
Yeah. So,
You're loud.
See? Yeah. See? Yeah. See? See?
I didn't say you couldn't.
See?
What are the odds that you'll be racing C2C next year?
No.
Honestly.
No.
You don't think so?
There's a good reason. It's going through the same area that we've done already, which is Santos, and we ride there.
Come on, you guys. No. Randy, out that window, 200 meters was midnight and day one of C2C. Like, come on, guys. I mean, we had home field advantage, and we finally got the win, and I don't need to be. I mean, everybody knows that I know every, you know, thing out here, and whatever. I was hoping that more teams in this last race would be on it with us, but just like one checkpoint threw people for a loop, and we just vroom, vroom, because it's on our mountain biking trail, and all right, go, and full home course advantage here. And we've talked a lot in this hour on how much, and I'm speaking for myself, but how much we love giving back. And I have gone through now 4 C2Cs and pulled into the TAs, and there's our amazing friends that we know, and Sonia and Chris and Wendy and Jim and Karen, Jim and is it Karen? And Carolyn. And, you know, and I want to do that. Like, I want to.
Sarah also wants to have her birthday back to herself. C2C is always on her birthday. So that's really what we're talking about.
So
honestly, I do adventure racing for a very big reason, and that is to be adventurous and go to new places. Mm-hmm. That's my drive to this sport, not so much of repeats. And that's also why I got out of triathlon, because there were so many repeats. And I've 4 years in a row, come on, I'm toasted, to be very honest.
But I want
to
help those people. I
have no problem being out there.
I want to be in the transition area, and I want to be that person, or the, you know, the new team comes in, what is going, you know, what are we, and I want to, maybe I'll hop on and go off with them and help them find, you know, things in order to keep them motivated and everything. I am a coach at heart. Like, that is my job. It is my passion. It is what I do, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day now. So, I really want, you gotta do what you want to do. So that's what I want to do now.
Well, are you guys going to do any adventures then? Got anything planned that, you know?
Well, you put race on the end of that. Adventures. Yeah. We're going out of town next week. North Carolina
with Richard and Jared.
Rich and Jared need some whitewater experience, and that's my job to get them a little experience with that for a race they're doing in Oregon. I jump all in when somebody asks me to do something like that. And it's a place I love to train, and something I'm excited to do.
I'll just wait in the cabin while they go off and do things.
They'll probably need a shuttle.
Right. Yes.
I'll drop them off and then I'll pick them up. Yes. Randy. Oh,
exactly.
I knew I had a job.
Yes. So, yes, the adventure never dies inside. Yeah. I'm always looking for something new.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I'll allow it.
Thanks.
All right, so you're going to abandon us, but I'll allow it.
I'm not.
If we could keep doing some more of these ride and race on your owns, I'm just going to keep putting those together too. The rodeos are great.
We're going to go to nationals.
We'll go to nationals. Yeah. We have to somehow get ready for that. Ugh. So you'll see us around.
I said, I'll give you 5 hours a week of training.
Okay.
Yeah, if some things pop up. I mean,
it's not much out there
right now. What can we look at to do? I mean, it's rough to get anywhere. So things come back to normal. It's funny, in my life, I have traveled a lot. I have gone a lot of different places. I have not done any of those for pleasure. It's always been a swimming competition, a triathlon competition. Let's go to Belize because there's an adventure race. Let's go to Costa Rica because there's an Xterra triathlon. There needs to just be something that pops up in a cool location, and I'll find a I'll go to a cool location.
Whether it's racing or just a cool location.
Right. Yeah. Or we'll probably register.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I always, in the back of my mind, I always have this thing, someday there's going to be something I really want to race. And then I'm like, if I really want to race, that means I really want to shoot it. So I have that out. But you'll find, you'll probably, something will pop up.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, let's go do that, because it's hard and stupid.
Yes.
Yes. Or it's new. Right. Do more, everybody else does
different. I know. Yeah, we do. Different. We pride ourselves on being the first to do a lot of things, and then we get bored with it, and then everybody else does it. And we go, we've already been there and done that. Thanks.
You're pioneers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's is it happy hour there now?
Yep. It is. Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Randy.
We're an hour.
Yep. Well, I think I'm going to take that little one down there, she's ready for her walk. So
this one's,
even though it's snowing a little bit. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Snoring. Yeah. Oh, she's here. I'll get one.
You wore them out, didn't you?
Yeah. Paddle boarding actually this morning. It's beautiful on the water. She's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Paulette did her second open water swim in the 38 degree water today.
Ooh,
so. She thinks, all right, nobody hears this, so I can tell a story. When we were first married, we were mountain biking in Colorado, And I literally had to carry her across some streams because she didn't want her feet to get wet and cold. Oh. And now she's out swimming in snowstorms.
Look at that. Fun. Look wow. at that. Yeah, you did say it was snowing. Holy.
Yep.
Yeah. South Dakota.
Yeah. South Dakota. Yeah. You don't like the weather. Wait, it'll change in 5 minutes.
Same here.
That is similar. Yep. It's hotter.
Just different versions of hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there so, goes
well,
the puppy. Hi, puppy. Bye, puppy.
There she is. Well, there's a leg. Maybe I'll see you at Nationals. You'll be there. I might be there. So we'll.
Okay.
We'll hope.
Yes. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. This has been fun. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye. I can't not dance on this. She can do this.
With a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Ain't that tough enough? 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 For you, baby, I will swim the sea. Nothing I do for you is too tough for me. I'd put out a burning building with a shovel and dirt and not even worry about getting hurt. Ain't that tough enough? 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 Your cheeks. I'd love you in the morning, and I'd love you at noon. I'd love you in the night, and take you to the moon. Ain't that tough enough? Muhammad Ali, just to have you, baby, close to me. I taught them all these moves. And knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I aim to please. I wrestle with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that tough enough?
I love that song. It makes me feel sassy. Oh, well, I'm trying to work it, you know.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? This is my sister. She's, excuse my language, but she's a badass.
Oh. I've never heard you cuss.
Oh. Last lie before the new year ends.
Well, sometimes we're tough. Sometimes we're tender. And this next song happens to be one of my favorite songs. Dedicated to my baby sister.